It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is Trey. Thanks for joining us for a Tuesday edition of our podcast. A couple of things happened over the past couple of days that are worth thinking about. So, you know, actually, my parents used to encourage me not to think out loud, just kind of to think and then speak afterwards, if at all. But I'm going to not follow their wise counsel, kind of think out loud, and then you can let me know where you stand. Maybe I'm missing something. I probably am. Not maybe. I no doubt am missing something. It's just a question of what. And even if I'm not missing something, I'm always looking for a different or better perspective. So give it to me. Costa Rica has been on my mind some lately. I wonder from time to time what it would be like to spend part of the year in another country, enjoying the people and the culture and the climate. And I've traveled a decent amount, I guess. I've just never lived somewhere else for any extended period of time. So I think of my Costa Rica and Portugal and New Zealand, or I used to, not so much about Costa Rica anymore. I got a call Saturday afternoon from a friend of mine who's a very prominent and well-known physician and businessman. And I don't mean prominent in the state of South Carolina. I mean prominent nationally and maybe even beyond that. But he didn't ask me not to use his name. I'm just not going to. He knew of a young woman who was being held at the airport in Costa Rica because she had a slight tear in the spine of her passport. He sent me a picture, and you needed the Hubble telescope to see this slight tear, but okay. So I've enlarged it. I've got it under some super microscope in some lab somewhere. Yeah, okay, there's a slight tear in the spine of a passport from a young woman who's a senior at an Ivy League school. She's not in Hell's Angels. She's not the accountant for the Cali cartel. She's a college kid from the United States on spring break. She had just visited a South American country with the exact same passport. With, guess what? No issues whatsoever. But some so-called security or customs agent from Costa Rica at the airport denied her entry and sent her back to the United States. Put her back on a plane to fly back to the United States. So that's where things were when my friend called me. I talked to the young woman who could not have been. I would have been. Well, first of all, she's a senior at an elite school. I was having a hard time like following all the words she was using, but could not have been nicer, was seemingly less bothered by the fact pattern than I was at the time. So here she is, been traveling internationally, a tear that you really is almost indiscernible in the spine of a U.S. passport, which, by the way, used to mean something. And I do what I used to do when I was in the house. I mean, people, we had tons of passport issues when I was in the house. But, you know, this is a weekend. So I actually got a friend of mine in the Senate, and two friends of mine in the Senate, and a friend of mine in the House. Got them on the weekend to try to help. No dice. There was nothing in the world that could have been done on our end. Nothing in the world. This is not a State Department issue. It's not a United States of America issue. It's a Costa Rica issue. They decide who gets to come into their country. You've heard me say it a million times. Sovereign countries decide who comes and why. And this agent and presumably his supervisor decided that a senior at Princeton University who was traveling with friends on spring break could not have been more polite, was unworthy of admission to this country because of a small tear, tear may not even be the right word. A small imperfection, for those of you who enjoyed The Birthmark by Nathaniel Hawthorne, an imperfection in her passport. So I spent the weekend just making sure I got this right. A senior at Princeton cannot get into Costa Rica with an American passport, but people from Costa Rica or wherever else can get into this country without one. And just to be really clear, I don't blame the government of Costa Rica. I'm sure responsible people would have been as aghast as I was at this fact pattern. So there's a difference between blaming someone and holding them accountable. So I don't blame the government of Costa Rica, but I would hold them accountable because they're the ones who hire the agents who work at these airports. And abuse of power is and always has been infuriating to me, whether it's cops or teachers or politicians or fill in the blank. Most of us are wired to not like small people who abuse their small roles simply because they can. So count me out now on visiting Costa Rica unless and until that young woman who had to travel back to the United States to get a brand new American passport, presumably one that was perfect in the eyes of the security or customs agent at the airport in Costa Rica. They won't miss my money. I'm too broke for it to make a difference. But if you are a country that cannot allow a young woman from an elite school who is an American in on spring break with no criminal history, I don't stand a chance. So why bother trying? And there are plenty of other beautiful places to visit. America lets people in who should never be allowed in, while our so-called friends deny young people entry because of a torn piece of paper. The other thing that was on my mind, and apparently on the minds of almost everyone with a social media account, was the State of the Union. Two lessons there. One, we learned again from President Biden, do not lower expectations so much for your opponents. I mean, I used to tell folks when I was in the courtroom that if I showed up sober for court, the judges were surprised. And I didn't even drink. How would you not show up sober for court if you don't drink? I like to lower expectations. I liked it when my opponents had very low expectations. I think my grandmama used to call it poor mouth. That somebody likes to poor mouth. I wouldn't keep doing it with respect to political opponents. Because when you set expectations so low, and look, I was in that crowd too. I thought he would struggle to read the teleprompter. But it doesn't matter what I think. It matters in the minds of people watching what they perceived. And I think the reality is they perceived that he did better than many of them thought he would do. So the moral of the story is to set reasonable expectations, not too high, not too low. Give credit where it's due. I mean, the fact that someone can read a teleprompter doesn't change its policies or whether or not that person is the best candidate for any office. I mean, reading a teleprompter really should not be one of the constitutional qualifications for office. But giving credit where it's due, I think, gives you credit with people who care what you think. So when I flip on the television and it doesn't matter what someone has done, you have the same talking points no matter what. We're just wired in some catatonic trance to say our opponents did horrible and our friends did well, even when you know the reality is not true. I think people actually give you more credit when you are truthful about it. And the truth is that President Biden, at least in terms of performance, I mean, there's a difference between performance and policy. I'm not talking about policy. I'm talking about performance. The performance, because the expectations were so low, it enables him and the media and Democrats, to the extent there's a difference between the media and Democrats, and I'm not sure there is, but if there is, it allows them to say how great he did, because he exceeded the very modest expectations. So y'all have heard me say it before, like every now and again, I'll say I think the qualification for that job should be higher than narrowly avoiding indictment. I say that about Republicans who have recently been under investigation or in trouble. I mean, I just have higher expectations than like barely avoiding grand jury indictment, barely avoiding a true bill. I think we should have higher expectations for the commander in chief than being able to read off of a teleprompter a speech that someone else wrote. But that's where we are. So don't lower expectations too much for our or perceived opponents. And just like critic, give critique where it's due, or criticism. I mean, people can use the word criticism if they want. I prefer the word critique. Got to give credit when it's due. You got to give critique and criticism when it's due. But also in the process, we have to remember these are human beings. These are people. You know, I was there when Scott Hoke was in a playoff at Augusta National. That's going back a long time, and I'm sure somebody is sitting there thinking, what in the world does Scott Hoke being on the number 10 green at Augusta National have to do with the State of the Union? I was standing beside the green. I was smart enough back in the old days, if I sensed that there was going to be a playoff, I would leave the course and go position myself right by the number 10 green. So I could watch the first hole of the playoff. That was back when the playoff started on number 10. So I was there. I watched what later, you know, experts and others chimed in and said, you know, did he choke? How can you miss a 3-foot putt? I wonder how many of his critics have missed a 3-foot downhill, side hill putt to win a major championship. I wonder how many of his critics, I wonder how many of the people who wrote article after article after article, how in the world could you miss a 3-foot putt? I wonder how many of them have missed a 3-foot putt on like a Saturday morning that was meaningless. If you play golf for more than 30 minutes, every one of them has. I mean, missing a 3-foot putt, maybe you read it wrong. Maybe you hit it exactly where you meant to hit it and you read it wrong. Maybe it was nerves. I remember my son eagled number 17 at our course to get us within one shot in a tournament. The only tournament I can talk him into playing with me is the father-son, because he didn't have a choice. I mean, he either needs to go get a paternity test and prove that I'm not his father, or he's got to play with me in the father-son, and that's a step down for him because he's a lot better than I am. But he eagled 17 at our course and got us to within one shot of the lead, and somehow, I don't know how, I'll probably thinned it. I don't know what happened, but I hit a decent approach shot into 18, and I had a 4-footer to tie for the lead and put us in playoff. This is a father-son golf tournament. There's no one watching except the two people we're playing with and my son. And I don't know that I've ever been more nervous in my life. Bill Buckner's another example. I mean, I call Bill Buckner. Nobody wants to talk about the thousands or tens of thousands of balls he fielded cleanly. So for those of you who wonder, where is he going with this? Yeah, Marco Rubio is one of the best public speakers I've ever heard. I mean, whether you like his politics or not is irrelevant to me. I mean, you can love him, you can not love him. That has nothing to do. I happen to be in the group that loves him, but you're welcome to not. He is a fantastic public speaker. He is one of the best public speakers, and this is coming from a guy who actually studies public speaking. He's one of the best public speakers I've ever heard. When it comes to the response to the State of the Union, he is remembered not for his speaking ability, but for taking a sip of water. Joey Kennedy may have been the hardest working colleague I had when I was in the House. He worked all the time. Always he had something on his mind. There was no, to quote my grandmother again, tomfoolery going on with Joey Kennedy. It wasn't, hey, let's take a night off and let's go talk about sports, although he could. I think he played college sports. He played sports at Stanford. Smart, hardworking, prepared, organized. After his response to the State of the Union, all people wanted to talk about was chapstick. I want to read something to you. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly and who errs, who comes up short again and again. His place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. That is a paraphrased quote from Theodore Roosevelt. It's often called the man in the arena, but really should be the person in the arena. And because I'm not talking about a man. I get it. You didn't like Senator Katie Britt's response to the State of the Union. You didn't like her speaking style, the substance, the scenery. Yep, I get it. You've been talking about it nonstop ever since, my friends in the media. You've devoted more space to the issue of her response to the State of the Union than you have so many other issues that actually matter. So, I mean, I guess my point is, so what? Maybe it was not her finest moment in public service. I just wonder how many of her critics have ever given the response to anything. I mean, have they ever run for office? Have they ever been elected to anything since junior high school? Okay, great. You signed up for a social media account. We're so proud of you. You entered all the information correctly. You figured out how to post something online. You figured out which social media account to use, or maybe you took the LSAT and didn't do well enough and became a journalist, and now you write about other interesting people for a living. We get all that. Great. Good for you. You don't have any idea, and neither do I, what it's like to give a response to the State of the Union, or have a 3-foot putt to win a major, or have a free throw to win a basketball game, or to double fault away a match point in a tennis match. Because more often than not, it's not us that is in the arena. So when it comes to Senator Katie Britt, I mean, my response is just let it go. Just let it go. You may not think she did great. She may not think she did great. Plenty of people have not done amazingly well. That's really hard. I can think of one person who is like universally seen as having done super, super well with the response to the State of the Union, and that's Tim Scott. But for Pete's sake, find something else to write about. Enough about what she said and did and didn't do. I mean, we just got to stop judging people based on one moment in an otherwise solid, in some cases stellar, in some cases exemplary career. I mean, we do that as a culture. We just define people by their least flattering moment. I just think we ought to be able to do better than that.
Wait right there. We'll have more next.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, the Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Which brings me to my last point, which is the end of the LSU South Carolina SEC Championship game in women's basketball. Both coaches were right. Both coaches. We got to fix whatever led to that, what we saw. And for those of you who didn't watch it, very, very hotly contested game. There was a couple of minutes to go, at least from where I was sitting. There was a steal. There was an intentional foul. There was some jawing back and forth. There was a push. Then there was a big push. Then there was a mini skirmish with players leaving the bench. It was just not a good scene. It wasn't a good reality, and it wasn't a good look. And that ain't good. When both reality and perception aren't bad, that ain't good. But both coaches were right. One of them talked about refereeing and letting stuff not get called all game long and then expecting human beings not to react and not to respond. And the other coach has talked often about trash talking in this culture that we find ourselves in, where where we talk about posterizing people, which is demeaning, by the way. You know, we're going to put, look at that dunk. He dunked on someone's head. That is demeaning. And people who are demeaned, they fight back, believe it or not. That's human nature. It's a pride thing. I mean, college basketball is beautiful. I have known Coach Kim Mulkey for two decades. I pull for her wherever she is. I am a lifelong University of South Carolina Fighting Gamecock fan who has had a chance twice now to meet Dawn Staley, including recently at a charity event in Connecticut. And I'd rather talk to her than any of the other so-called celebrities who were there. Because talking to her was like talking to your next-door neighbor. She was kind. She was knowledgeable. She was generous with her time to both me and my wife. Kim Mulkey, I have not just known, I have stayed in contact with for two. They are Hall of Fame coaches. They were Hall of Fame players. They're pillars of the sport, which is a beautiful sport. So when they talk, I am going to listen. And the players involved need to take personal responsibility, and they have. They have been and will be punished. The fan who went on the court has been and will continue to be punished. The referees who called next to nothing will be reviewed, I hope, by their bosses. And as I've said before, TV and ESPN need to shoulder some of the blame as well. They love that sports has become like professional wrestling. They can sit there and act all aghast about it. Oh, wasn't that an ugly ending to... Where do you think the youngsters playing the sport now, where do you think they grew up watching? I didn't grow up watching ESPN. It came on when I was a kid. That's when it was founded. But they grew up watching it. What makes the highlights? Where do you spend your time, ESPN? What do you spend your time popularizing? I mean, from where I sit, you popularize players showing one another up. It's constant, nonstop trash talking, getting in one another's face. I mean, the fight at the end of that LSU-South Carolina game, to me, was 40 minutes in the making. It doesn't excuse it. It doesn't mitigate it. But it certainly explains it. I sat courtside about a year ago at that very same arena for a women's NCAA tournament basketball game. And what I saw weren't just fouls that weren't called. They were third-degree misdemeanors that weren't called. I mean, I'm sitting there as a former prosecutor saying, look, I prosecuted people who did less than that, and you're not even calling it. So don't let the players beat each other up all game and then expect someone not to break. And again, there will be punishment. There should be punishment. I'm not mitigating it. I'm not minimizing it. I am explaining it. It is called human nature. Stop allowing, approving, advertising, trash talking. Respect your opponent. Respect the game. Respect your coaches, the school you play for. Quit talking about sports like it's war. We're not going to battle. We're playing a game against people you might be teammates with on an Olympic team or a pro team. So stop with the demeaning of your opponents with deed or action. Two of my favorite all-time college athletes, Marcus Lattimore. When he scored a touchdown, he did the most amazing thing. You almost never see it now anymore. Stunning. He handed the ball back to the referee, celebrated with his lineman who had blocked for him, and then jogged back to the bench. In other words, Marcus Lattimore acted like he had done it before. I never once saw Marcus try to show up an opponent. Never once. I actually had the pleasure of talking to him for a couple of times. He was the exact same way off the field. Such a humble person. Which is why when he suffered a career-ending knee injury, you saw a very different kind of scene than the one we saw Sunday in the basketball game. You saw his opponents gathered around him, along with his teammates, because he had earned so much respect with his character and with his talent. And then I'm going to throw another name at you, Aaliyah Boston. She played center for University of South Carolina women's basketball team. I never saw her be anything other than kind to her opponents. Forget about her teammates. She was like a mother or sister to her teammates. I'm talking about her opponents. I repeatedly watched her extend her hand to help an opponent up, not trip an opponent, which we also saw over the weekend, by the way, and deny it, not trash talk an opponent, not pull hair, not split someone's lip, not shove someone. I saw her, and she was the best country player in the country for at least two of the years she was in college, act like the best person in the country. So respect those against whom you compete, and they'll return that respect, or they should. Act like British soccer hooligans, and you're going to get more hooligans. So we ought to be talking about two championship-caliber teams with Hall of Fame coaches and whether they will meet again in the Final Four or the Finals. We should not be talking about who got ejected for fighting. So honor your sport, honor your school, your family, your coaches, and most of all, honor yourself by how you act. And maybe, just maybe, maybe ESPN will show the Aaliyah Bostons of the world helping people up and not just show the folks getting pushed down. I'll see you next week. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform. And watch directly on outkick.com/watch.